The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to the Tony Tennis Show by Partisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson. We're waiting on our co-host, Pat Edouard, to call in. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. At the beginning of the show, we pay tribute to those veterans that served so that we could be part of a free nation. The songs you heard were those of all the military branches except SpaceX, which is the new military branch. We need to You know, this time last year, Pat and I had the opportunity on Veterans Day to what was deemed as the longest Veterans Day parade in history. And it started in Washington, D.C. with World War II veteran Sidney. Go, Sidney, go. Sidney Walton, a World War II veteran who passed away recently. We started in Washington, D.C. and went on to, stopped in Delaware, Philadelphia, and on to New York. We had police escorts, I'm sorry, not police escorts, but state trooper escorts through each of the states. And, you know, it was interesting because this was one time that I could drive 90 miles an hour that and not get stopped by the cops because they were following me and leading us. So to Paul Walton and his family, again, we express our condolences on the passing of your father, and we will always remember him when we first met him in 2016 at the Philadelphia, at the DNC National Convention here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and continuously followed him, and you have been a friend to this show throughout the years, and hopefully we will continue the relationship that we have. But to all our veterans that, you know, there's a difference between veterans and Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Memorial Day remembers those that have lost their lives. Veterans are those that have went into combat, made it home, but some may have lost not their lives, but limbs. They may have lost, experienced trauma. And so when we see our veterans, for me to be here in this studio and for everyone that works in this free land, we have to remember those that give of themselves and those that gave of themselves so that we can do what we do on a daily basis. It's not easy. It has not been easy for these veterans and their families. And we need to remember the families as well. So with that said, you know, our opening statement for today is change begins first with mentality and environment. Then your overall attitude and what you put out into the universe. Poverty is not natural and ignorance is learned. The earth provides abundance and opportunity for everyone. It's folk that are pulling the strings on who has access, people, prosperity, purpose, positivity, and priorities over position. Everyone has the right to run, but not the right to win. Don't run just because you have legs or you believe it is a good idea. Run because you have the patience to work and build with others to create harvests from which you may never feast and plant trees that you will never enjoy the shade. You can be a great example or a horrible warning. Change has many enemies. Change has many enemies. That's our opening statement. Veterans Day is a day set aside to thank and honor all who have served, but particularly the living veterans among us. Memorial Day, as I said earlier, specifically commemorates the men and women who died while in service of our country and made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Celebrated every November, Veterans Day honors all who have served in the U.S. military. Federal holiday is observed on November 11th, the day World War I ended in 1918. Officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919. However, the fighting ended about 7 months before, and when the Allies and Germany put into effect an armistice on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Veterans Day falls on November 11th every year. It recognizes all service members in armed forces. Memorial Day honors the men and women who died while serving in the military. Actually, our show today is infrastructure. We're going to talk about the general elections. We're going to talk about infrastructure. We're going to talk about politics of the upcoming years of 2021 and the results. Recently, on November 2nd, we had the opportunity across the country to enjoy the freedom of the vote. Many folks did not vote. Many went and voted. There were several upsets across the country. Right in our neighboring state of New Jersey, there was a scare to Democratic governor, incumbent, Mr. Phil Murphy, by the Republican candidate, who will concede sometime today or has already conceded the election. Longtime incumbent and New Jersey senator and head of the Senate in New Jersey, Mr. Sweeney, lost his bid for re-election after serving 10 years. 10 years in the New Jersey Senate. And he lost to a Republican truck driver who, by reports, said he only spent about $10,000. What happened? How did this happen? Did Mr. Sweeney get comfortable? Is this a sign of what's going to come in the months to come on the in the midterm elections? We're not sure. But there is some, both sides of the aisle are now trying to find themselves, trying to make ways. Is the Democratic Party in a downward spiral spin? Will more seats be lost to the Republican parties or vice versa? This, what will happen? We don't know. But we do know that this may be a sign of what is to come in the midterm elections. Here in Pennsylvania, there are already targets on a lot of these so-called politicians' backs. And there people are running folks against them. And as I said, every day, every time we speak about politics, there should never be someone running unopposed. Because then you have no choice. If we live in a democracy, then we should live in a democracy where a voter has the right to choose. And until we have that right to choose, and you go out to vote, you will have to suffer those consequences if you don't go vote. These are the things that really are happening in this world. These are the things that are happening in this country. Most people are looking at the recent infrastructure bill that was passed by Congress. But will that infrastructure bill help or hurt the American public? Does the American public really care? I will say this. I recently took a trip from Philadelphia to Atlanta, Georgia. And during that time, we rode on some of the smoothest roads in the city. Throughout on our travel, this is all about infrastructure. This is what it means. We need to look at some of this. You know, what does this Infrastructure Jobs Act? Johnny Come Lately is with us now. Hey, Pat, how you doing? Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show, Bipartisan Voice of the People. And you are?
I'm Pat Edwards. Good afternoon, everybody.
You know, one of these days. But Pat's here with us. And, you know, I just started, you know, we talked about the veterans. We talked about, you know, we started touching on the Infrastructure Investment Act. And what does it really mean? And while Brett was bringing you on, I was talking about just our experience as we travel the roads from Pennsylvania to Atlanta, Georgia, and what the difference that we noticed on how the roads were smoother as you went further south. They actually were working throughout the night on the roads. This is all part of infrastructure. They were checking overhead bridges. You know, all of this money is coming in from was approved by the 177th Congress. And, you know, as usual, you know, our politicians have to do the photo ops. So our president, Mr. Joe Biden, is waiting for Congress to come back so the key Democrats could join him as he signs the infrastructure, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act of 2021. What does this include? It includes $89.9 billion in new infrastructure funding and reauthorizations, $66 billion in funding for Amtrak maintenance and development, $40 billion in new funding for bridge repair, replacement, and rehabilitation, $55 billion in funding for clean drinking water. Michigan really needs that. Several small, predominantly black towns in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, to be exact, and just recently another small town, predominantly black. And I'm saying it. It's something not right. It should not take this long for, if this was a predominantly white town, the infrastructure and water infrastructure would have been addressed years and years and years ago. $65 billion in funding to create.
Well, it was addressed, Randall, but the challenge is Green City Clean Water addressed that at this point almost 8 to 10 years ago. But it was never really enforced, I don't think, all the way like it was. Like, you know, at the height of it, when Mayor Nutter was in office, me and Mabari Bird and a few other people, we managed 400 properties of the water department that were all over, that are strategically placed all over the city.
But again, you know, when we talk about Flint, I mean, we did a whole show when this all hit, and all the truckloads of water that was taken to Flint, you know, the low response rate, of elected officials. And it's not just those in the Michigan area. When you have to address the underground water systems and all that, that's all part of infrastructure. You have to have all of these folks, not being blah, 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 on board so that the funding can get to these states. But the problem is the accountability. Once that money gets there, that the money is used for the purpose that it's used for. That's where the problems are in our cities, in our states, and across our country. You know, everybody's now talking about transparency and accountability. Okay, 2022, Tone and Tenor is going to be real transparent. We're going to call names. Whether you're an organization, whether you're an elected official, whether you're a former elected official, whether you're a nonprofit, get your life straight, because we're taking no prisoners in 2022. And I don't want to hear about, you know, that we're talking about elections and all that. We're going to talk about elections. But if you do not know the community for which you want to run in, you're going to face the tough questions. I don't care. You know, those of you that are incumbents, we're going to pull your records. We're going to pull your voting records. We're going to see where that money went. We in Philadelphia have a controller that ran unopposed, but yet and still, we still have problems with money.
Part of that is because she's part of the old regime.
And that's right? Where the problem is.
And under the old regime, she's making about $154,000 a year.
And that's what part of the problem is, Pat, is that we have, and I'm going to say it, for you state reps that used to be in Harrisburg making $84+, then you realize you can leave Harrisburg and come and work in Philadelphia City Council and make a 106-figure salary on a part-time job. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. And there are those that are contemplating that move right now. Look at their districts when they were state reps. What will they do for the community if they come back to go to city council?
Well, we're the only, I think honestly, we're the only section of the East Coast where that makes sense. But I mean, honestly, like you said, it's because of the money.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about money. We are the second.
Think about it.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, but think about it. We're going backwards because, like, you're supposed to go from, you know, the city to the state, or, like, even if you go through the whole gamut, right? Lot captain, committee person, ward leader, then
ward follower.
I'm just giving them the power structure, sir. Funny. And then after that, you know, you may run for city council, or even, you know, or even work for somebody in council or one of the state or one of the city or state offices, and then you run, you know, and then after that you go to the state and then to the feds. But unfortunately, we seem to go in the opposite direction, you know.
But unfortunately, Pat, not only that, a lot of these folks that go and work in these offices, because they worked in these offices, they think they're heir apparent or they're ordained, as some of our old regime used to say, I'm ordained for this position. But what have you done? What have you done? We live in a city that's going backwards instead of forward. And with all due respect, we're not alone. When it comes to urban city, this is going to be a show, a different show at a different time, but what we experienced in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, this past week, their city council is just as bad as ours. When you have a council that does not speak, or as one of the candidates that is up in the runoff election says, the only way they communicate is through the newspaper with the mayor, you got a problem. And if you want to challenge me, if you said it, I recorded that show when you said it on air. These are problems, and it's happening into our urban communities. And not only that, those areas where there are affluents, just like here in Philadelphia, the Northeast wanted to break off from the city, inner city. The same thing is being or is happening in Georgia, in the city of Atlanta, with a section of the city called Buckhead. It may not happen, but this is out there. We're in a spiral downturn throughout our country, in our cities, because nobody wants to play in the sandbox together. And no real leadership. I said it, and I'm going to continue to say it. All of you that are sitting there in your offices, in your plush offices, and those newly elected, those that won special election, you better get your record straight. And you better know the community that you're working in, and you need to leave the photo ops alone. The city of Philadelphia gave $155 million to gun violence, but the killings are going up. And who's getting it? The organizations that are not in the communities. I don't care whether Pat's going to tell me, oh, yeah, they're in the community, they're doing good work. No, you're not in the community if your office is on Broad Street. You're not in the community if you had an office on Delaware Avenue. You're not walking those streets. You're sitting behind closed doors, collecting a check from the state, from the city. And that's where our problems are. Until we start that and we start doing an accountability and transparency, and the only way to do it is to start looking at the finances. And you can look at that on GuideStar, Charity Navigator. And to those of you that have buildings that claim you don't, that you're doing that little teeny card that you may get less than $50,000 in income, tell me how you're paying your rent. Tell me how you're paying your employees. We're going to stop funding pet projects of these elected officials. And to those of you that want to talk, I've been in here since high school. I negotiated contracts for the community, septic contracts. Go look it up. I need not use nobody to make a name for myself. I have a name. If I hear it one more time, I'm going to expose you. The whole 11 pages. With that said, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of People. Our show today is COVID-19, Salute to Veterans, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs, General Election Politics, and Results 2021.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, "You're right, there ought to be a law." Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law. I'm just a bill, yes, I'm only a bill, and I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Listen to those congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm gonna live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House, where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be a law. How I hope and pray that he will. But today I am still just a bill.
You mean even if the whole Congress says you should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so
old. By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Welcome back to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 out of beautiful Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward calling in today.
Think about that. Our topic today is COVID-19, salute to veterans, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, general election politics, and results of 2021. You know, that was a perfect segue to, you know, what happens with the bill, not just in Washington, D.C., but throughout our state houses and our municipalities. You know, the same structure happens. And as we were talking about the infrastructure bill. President Joe Biden will have a bipartisan group of people in the White House when he signs the bill. This bill was actually written largely by a core bipartisan group of 10 Senate lawmakers led by Democratic Senator Kristen Sinema and Republican Senator Ron Portman. Rob Portman from Ohio. Actually, his state has the lowest recidivism rate in the country. That bill was written and passed in with the help of former Congressman J.C. Watts out of Oklahoma. But the House of Representatives passed a measure last week, the infrastructure bill, with the aid of 13 Republicans, which is interesting because here in the Pennsylvania area, Brian Fitzpatrick actually was one that voted for this bill, and now he is being targeted by fellow Republicans. He's being targeted by his own party because he felt as though the infrastructure bill would help Pennsylvania.
Yeah, because our roads suck. That's why. So, you know, again, you know, we are a bipartisan show, so my hat always goes off to those individuals that choose the people.
And right? That's what that Brian chose. I mean, the pressure, of course, is, it says right here, Representative Brian Fitzpatrick on Saturday declared the passage of $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill a historic, end quote, step toward repairing deteriorating roads, defunct bridges, and vulnerable dams and levees. That's a quote. But the Bucks County Republican didn't respond to the questions as pressure built within his party to punish him and a dozen other Republican House members who supported the measure. To punish a man that so that we could have roads that will not tear up your car. Several, I know a lot of us have replaced our tires, front ends, because of roads. We're not even going to talk about bridges. And I believe at one time, Pat, you reported that there's over 430 plus bridges in the state of Pennsylvania. And
yeah, I believe, yeah, 400,000, but I forgot what the other number was, but I know there's over 400,000 and 40% of them or more have some suspect infrastructure. Just really crumbling infrastructure. And these are things that could have been avoided. But again, when it becomes about your feelings and not the facts, and the fact that we have to spend this money. And there's some caveats to the bill that I you know, unfortunately, I don't have my computer in front of me, but there's some good to the bill and there's some bad. I think I heard you rattle off some of the positive things that it'll affect, mm-hmm. but they really gutted. If you guys look at the original bill that was presented back in June of 2021, they really gutted a lot of that stuff because of Manchin and his counterparts. And again, Joe Manchin has the hands down, and this is not me talking, folks. This is the facts. Senator Joe Manchin, who's been in office since 1981, my lifespan, right, has one of the least educated constituencies in the whole country.
Mm. Mm.
Just putting that out there.
Mm. And he's from West Virginia.
He is from West Virginia. So, you know, he was a governor, he was a congressman, and now he's a senator. But he's a senator that holds some. He holds some weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but between him and the minority leader, man, they definitely hold some weight, man.
Actually, the original Democratic infrastructure proposal had outlined $2.6 trillion in spending, including mm-hmm. yep. on additional sectors such as public housing, research, and development. The $1.2 trillion Senate bill would allocate $550 billion in new spending on transportation, water and power infrastructure, and pollution cleanup, in addition to regular annual spending on infrastructure projects. You know, speaking of pollution, again, a part of Southwest Philadelphia, a very poor area, or where the junkyards all are, we had a second major fire. This time, it was the burning of tires. Last time was a refinery. And they were quick to say that this smoke that was seen for miles. I mean, if you know Philadelphia, all the way up to Academy Road and then over to Jersey, even as far as some say as far as Delaware, if the wind blew right.
Well,
you know,
technically Academy Road is in New Jersey. But
I'm saying that's going north. I'm talking about going south. Yeah, you
know, but that's one of the biggest challenges with people not understanding the ramifications of pollution. Now, a radial tire, you know, which is made partially of rubber, right, which comes from a rubber plant, but once it's refined and you add a bunch of chemicals to it, it becomes as dangerous as a cigarette, right? Cigarettes have an undisclosed amount of chemicals, somewhere in the range of 600 to 800 chemicals in one cigarette, and people put this to their mouths and smoke them.
And yet and still, I literally, when I saw this fire, I was in Center City, and I drove up and out 30th Street Bridge, and I actually took a picture of it. You could see it. That's how dense it was. But quickly, our health department here in the city of Philadelphia said, oh, there's nothing going to go on. There's nothing. There's, you know, it's not going to affect your lungs. It's not going to do anything. But if you see this smoke and it's blowing towards you and you inhale it, it may not happen today, but it could be a result of something to come in the future. Again, our city council became reactive instead of proactive. After the last fire, they were supposed to do X, Y, Z, that we're not going to have this happen again. And now, again, here comes the big, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to study this, we're going to figure out why. But if you drive along, and this is facts, if you drive along Essington Avenue in that junkyard section of Southwest Philadelphia, all behind those barriers is nothing but tires that have been thrown. So if this could happen in a junkyard, just imagine if that went from 67 up to almost the airport. Those all tires in a straight row.
Yeah, and people need to understand there's petroleum in those tires, folks. Petroleum is highly flammable.
Why are we really getting rid of plastic bags? Because they do not
deteriorate because of what Pat just said. Petroleum. Petroleum.
Yeah, so please consider that before you throw stuff out the window, folks. I see it all the time when I'm driving down 76.
Not just
really
down
even in the street, man. It's not good. Like, you don't see it. I mean, we were in Atlanta, you know, half the week, and I didn't see anybody littering.
Well,
with the exception of downtown.
If you recall, as what we found mind-boggling, we were driving down 85, 95, and myself 20 East and 20 West. Those signs, they were $5,000 fines for littering, and the cameras are going up and down the highway. You know, we can call the South backwards. We can call them Yahoos. We can say whatever you want. But if you were with us driving those roads, look at those cameras, look at the cleanliness and the signs. I don't know how many people got fined $5,000, but I know I wasn't going to be one of them. This is when, but you have to enforce this stuff. We can't have these part-time elected officials creating these bills, creating these laws, and then there is no enforcement. And we can't blame it. We can't say it's COVID because most of these laws were done pre-COVID. Our waterways polluted because of dumping, chemical dumping from factories. You know, infrastructure is just not roads and bridges. It's how we live. You know, we're moving into, you know, not too long ago, most families only had one car within the family, or in, if you go back about 50, 60 years, there may have been one car on a block. Today, you may have a family and they have six cars in it, in the one household. And our brilliant elected officials keep approving development with no parking. We're not New York people. We do not have a true transportation, public transportation infrastructure. We do not have trains that go where they need to go. So we have to resort to cars and the pollution. If you remember,
well, not necessarily.
Well,
remember in the turn of the 20th century. The technology for electric cars was available, much like certain
wind energy was available. But
yeah, well, that was in the turn of the 1900s, the 1800s going to 1900s. We actually had wind up cars. A lot of people don't know that, but you know, the oil industry, you know, and the steel industry, the Rockefellers of the world, they basically bought all that stuff and basically destroyed it.
So hold your next
and the
thought,
second coming
Pat.
Was of that
hold
was
that
in
thought,
80s.
Pat. We're going to take a second break here. You're listening to Tony Tanner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
And how those tax dollars are spent, to laws that dictate how people are treated, what priorities get funding, and what freedoms are protected or lost. Elections are our chance to speak out and make a difference on the issues most important to us, issues we follow and engage in all year long. We can impact state and federal law, how justice is meted out, local law enforcement policies, business regulations, school curriculum, and so much more, all by who we vote for on Election Day. You can help choose school board members, city councils, state and federal legislators, and the President of the United States. If most of them share your values, you'll be happy with their policies. If not, you could find yourself paying for programs you don't agree with, forfeiting your rights as a parent, or being forced to choose between your livelihood and your faith, among other things. Voting is our civic duty,
It's a privilege, and the winners will dictate policy for years to come. Will they contend steadfastly with your values during these uncertain times? Get informed and vote for the candidates who will support the public policy you agree with. Policy that aligns with your values.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward calling in.
You know, we let's pivot a little bit. You know, we talked about infrastructure, and that was a good segue into what recently took place throughout the country, and that we need to begin to talk about, you know, voting, how we vote, and what the signs of what happened across the country in the general election of 2021. You know, a lot of folks are being targeted for here in the state of Pennsylvania by quote unquote progressives. And we'll define that, what progressive is. And then we have to look at what happened in Virginia. Our astute vice president made a comment when she was stomping for, what's his name that lost in Virginia? She said, quote, whatever happens in Virginia will dictate what will happen in the 2022 election. Big mistake. That shows that politically that she made a statement that she should not have made, because what happened? The Republican won the governorship of Virginia. And now Mr. Biden is trying to give the loser a position in the administration. Interesting.
Well, that's because America has a love affair with losers. I've said it once, I'll say it twice. I mean, currently I'm down south. Like, there's places down here where there's, you know, Confederate statues.
You
losers,
know,
you lost.
Yeah.
So,
but you know,
this,
Pat,
historically, it's what it is. Yeah.
But you know, one thing we talk about, those statues, they're symbolic of the Confederacy, the Union armies, and all that. But those are part of the history. If you know the history, it's a different. But those statues aren't causing any problems. It's the people of today that are throwing these smoke screens up. It's these organizations, the so-called media people, and I'm gonna say it, that don't do their homework, and they fall into the smoke screens that are being thrown up, and they start emphasizing the same without doing their homework.
I mean, I got you. Again, there's a place in history for them,
mm-hmm.
but it's in the textbook because you're a loser. You don't get a statue.
Well, like, and that's the same thing with when you run for election. You know, I can't really call somebody a political consultant, quote unquote. You know, they label themselves that.
Or a fundraiser, and you don't make money.
Fundraiser,
and you say,
well, you know, you don't always make money when you fundraise. Well, then you're not a fundraiser. You're not a political consultant if you don't know how to run numbers, and if you have candidates that, you know, you're backing candidates or you're working with candidates that have no clue on the job, and you don't have a clue. Because you knocked on. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's because most people run because they have legs or ideas. Professionals are concerned with what? Winning. Amateurs are concerned with issues. You got to win first.
Right.
Right. Before you can address any issue. And even when you address issues, if you're on the state level, remember, you have to get, you know, 200 plus, almost 300 people to agree with you. Or half of them anyway.
Right? On the federal level, think about it. You know, 434 out of 435, because I'm not counting you. That's just in the House.
Correct. And we're not even talking about the 100 in the Senate.
Right.
So
the Cardinals.
And even as far as city council, you need
17, isn't it?
Right.
None. 17, 19?
Yeah.
So.
And you need, it's 17. And then you need 12 for a supermajority to veto the mayor.
The mayor. So, you know, these things are, it's the reality of where we live and what we live in, you know. And to target folks just because is not going to help the situation. You have to, if you're going to put somebody, you know, we cannot have a whole lot of on-the-job learners. You know, you have to understand what you're doing. You know, I'm gonna throw this definition out there real quick. Progressivism is political philosophy in support of social reform. In the 21st century, a movement that identifies a progressive is a social or political movement that aims to represent the interests of ordinary people through political change and the support of government actions.
Mm-hmm.
Political change, support of government actions. Read between the lines. Political change, support of government actions. How can you do both? And not only, a progressive does not just have to be a Democrat. See, don't get that twisted either. You got progressive Republicans, just like you have conservative Democrats and you have conservative Republicans. You have liberals, you have moderates. You know, we did a show and we broke all of that down. Most people don't know what they are. All they know is I give you a piece of paper and I go vote for these people.
Yeah, and a lot of these people that we're voting for, again, you know, I can't stress enough, y'all, judges are extremely important. And in the state of Pennsylvania, they get 6 to 10 year terms, right? 6 to 10 year terms. If one judge gets a 2 10-year terms, that's 20 years is a generation, right? So they can either do the right thing for a generation or they can make a bunch of people miserable. And, you know, if you reference our last show, I speak a lot about some of their powers and what they can do to you, to your kids, almost to your kids' kids. Mm. You know, and on the federal level, it's a lifetime appointment. You understand? People like, what's her name? Ruth Ginsburg, she died in office. You know.
And think about this. You know, and we said this before, you know, I'm not even gonna feed into this, but you know, WHYY, which is a station here in Philadelphia, the headline is what Sweeney's loss means to South Jersey. And it's written by a African-American male, the story. Now that New Jersey Senate President Steve Sweeney has admitted defeat in his reelection bid, South Jersey could see some changes ahead without a longtime state senator from Gloucester County in charge. Think about this, folks. New Jersey has one of the highest tax bases in the world. This man lost to a truck driver, Republican Edward Durr. I admire Mr. Durr because back, was it 2019, he made some statements they put about Muslims. But he chose to have a closed door meeting with the Muslim community without the cameras in the room. And when they came out of the meeting, the Muslims were, they reached an accord. You know, sometimes we have to learn how to agree to disagree. And that's, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, we have to, I think one of the biggest problems we have today, and it has evolved over the death of George Floyd, is that we have made everything black and white.
Yeah, but I get you, but it kind of was black and white.
But it was the other way around.
No, but I'm saying in the sense of, dude, it's a video. Same thing with Ahmaud Arbery and the young kid, what, Rittenhouse, whatever his name is. Like, he broke a federal law by bringing a gun across state lines and murdered two people and shot a third.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, just off the federal law that he broke, I don't even understand what is a trial. And again, it was on video. Same thing with Ahmaud Arbery. The man was running on his regular routine. They stopped him.
Right.
I don't care what any of you people say. I don't care what any of you conservatives
and whatever you say. And you know, with all due respect, I remember when I worked in the financial world, we had clients in Thousand Oaks. And I was a little younger, and I used to run. And I got up 6 o'clock in the morning, and I went running through Thousand Oaks, California. Next thing I know, here's a cop following me through the community of Thousand Oaks as I return back to the hotel. You know, let's not get it twisted. We have a target on our backs, but we have to be mindful of where we are, and we shouldn't have to. We live in, this is year 2021. You know, folks are getting killed for doing nothing. They're getting killed from those that are supposed to be enforcing the law. And as Pat always says, there's two people that control your lives more than anybody else. It is law enforcement and judges. With that, I think our engineer, Mr. Brett, who today celebrates 6 years of doing our show, even though we've been doing it over 8 years now. So, Brett, thanks for hanging in with us for 6 years.
Hey, man, we appreciate you, man. Brett is awesome.
Yeah. Listeners and followers, to see more of our show on social media, on Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor. You can find and listen to our podcast on SoundCloud and on WWDB website. Please look for the work that we do in the community. We're always in the community. We don't brag about it, but we're there. We're always committed to projects that bring support, relief, education, empowerment, and good cheer to the community. Thank you, Brett, our in-house engineer. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edouard. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. We're here every week on Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will see you next week. The laws come to their desk and all they do is say no or yes to